For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking in the studio today with my friend and my daughter, Valerie Elliot Shepherd. And this morning, Val and I were discussing teaching your children to work. And there's something you just said that you were dreading about going back home, Val. What was that?
Well, Mom, you had suggested this morning that I have Walter or Elizabeth or Christiana prepare some of the breakfasts, because getting dressed and getting the baby dressed and getting breakfast ready and having everything ready at 7:30 and making sure all the kids are up has been very difficult for me since we started homeschooling just a few weeks ago. And so you suggested that I have them help with getting the breakfast ready if I still had to be upstairs dressing the baby. And I right away felt convicted that I needed to do that, but I actually felt the dread of going back home and saying, okay, Walter and Elizabeth, you're going to help with breakfast now, because I know their reaction will be, oh, why do we have to do that? And so I found I have used a prayer called the Southwell Litany a lot in my own devotional time, and it is a whole series of confessions. And in between each confession is the line or the litany, save us and help us, we humbly beseech thee, O Lord. And I pray for this. This is one of the lines. Lord, I pray that you would keep me from the indecision that can make no choice, from the irresolution that carries no choice into act, and from losing opportunities to serve thee. And then also I pray that he would keep me from moral weakness of spirit, from timidity, from hesitation, from fear of men and actually fear of my own children, and dread of responsibility. Strengthen me with courage and to speak the truth in love and self-control, and alike from the weakness of hasty violence and weakness of moral cowardice, save me and help me, O Lord. And I actually have known exactly from my mother's encouragement and from my husband's telling me that I need to give my children more work. And they do have a big chore chart up on the refrigerator. But do you know, I feel guilty every time I tell them that there's a new job they need to do, and I am afraid because I know that I'm going to hear whines and fusses and all the reasons why they shouldn't have to do any more work because they've already got so much. So I do pray for the Lord to give me more of a resolute spirit and no fear of my own children.
Well, how are we going to motivate our children if a boy, for example, says, well, I don't see any reason why I have to learn to cook, and why should I be setting the table, or why should I have to wash dishes? I'm not going to be doing that. I'm going to marry a woman that knows what woman's work is. What motive does he have now at the age of 13?
Well, I think I can only encourage him with the motive that he has to do it for Christ's sake. And he has to do it as a member of this family, and he may not get any breakfast if he's not willing to he's not willing to help prepare some of the breakfasts, or even washing dishes. It's his most hated job that he does in our homes. Only once a week on Wednesdays, breakfast, lunch, and supper, he washes the dishes, and he really has a very hard time getting it accomplished because he just doesn't see why he has to do it. But I just pray constantly that the Lord will give him the desire and the motivation for the love of Christ to do it.
And if you were to say, for example, on Sunday night, you gather the family around and say, okay, we've got plan B that's going into operation now. Mm-hmm. I will get breakfast Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth will get breakfast on Tuesday. Walter will get breakfast on Thursday. And maybe we'll toss up or something as to who mm-hmm. gets breakfast on Saturday. And if Elizabeth and Walter don't get the breakfast, mm-hmm. then there won't be any breakfast. What would be the response to that from, first of all, from the younger four?
But Mother, we have to have breakfast. We can't starve. That's what they would say. And they do think they're starving if they go past 3 hours without something to eat. But I would even encourage the younger three. Sometimes one of them is up and they're just sitting there on the couch while I'm getting breakfast ready and I'm racing around the kitchen and making sure that the person comes down who's supposed to set the table. And I would have to encourage those younger ones that may be already up to come in and help with breakfast, because they won't get breakfast unless they help.
Do you think that an 11-year-old and a 13-year-old are capable of taking the full responsibility of getting a breakfast on the table?
Probably mine are not capable to do the whole thing by themselves. It would probably be a better idea to start out with two of them working at it together, each of them having separate responsibilities. And I would have to talk the night before to them about what exactly needed to be done. Of course, some breakfasts are much easier than others. And it depends. If we were just having cold cereal, of course, I think one of them could do the whole job. But if we were having waffles, there's a lot more work involved in that. And the problem with putting two in the kitchen at once is that they really do get to arguing and fussing at each other for not doing something right. And so, of course, I dread that.
Wouldn't it work if you said, if Tuesday, for example, Elizabeth is going to get the breakfast, then Monday night, somebody else is going to set the table for breakfast?
Yes.
Before they go to bed, the table would be set.
Yes,
would that help?
It definitely does help. We have done it a few times in the past, and it makes a tremendous difference. Even if the table is set very simply, just to have it already set is a great help. And I think I should start doing that regularly.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you give us a sample of say, two menus that Walter and Elizabeth might manage, each of them by themselves, without having to cooperate?
Okay, well, I already mentioned cold cereal. We have cold cereal at least 2 to 3 times a week, and we have oatmeal at least once a week. And the oatmeal involves, of course, cooking, 10 minutes before everybody's ready to eat it. And I think they could do the oatmeal. And then we have granola, which is also cold cereal, but there are different mornings when I allow different cereals, so I have to make clear to them which cereals are allowed, or else they just have too many choices, and that causes problems.
So it's simply a matter of you writing out the menu.
Right.
Twice, mm-hmm. Let's say, starting with twice a week. I mean, I'm not dictating this, Val. I'm giving you a few tiny, timid suggestions as to what you might possibly do.
And I think they're
great. But I can't believe that Walter couldn't make scrambled eggs.
The problem with scrambled eggs is I have three of them.
Nobody likes them.
Yeah.
Okay, but does this mean that nobody ever eats scrambled eggs?
Well, I'm afraid that's what it's been this past year. I've not made them eat. If I were going to have eggs and I was making them all eat eggs, then I would have boiled eggs, and they have to almost, well, some like them hard and some like them soft boiled. So I've done both for them, and that's probably not good to have two different types of eggs done. It's
too
more
many
complicated.
Options. Too many options, Val.
I have to work at it. It's something that I dread teaching them and taking the time to train them in, because I know always the night before I'm too tired to think about the next day.
What about cornbread? Can Elizabeth make cornbread?
Yes, she can.
Okay. And couldn't you have cornbread and
syrup and
syrup and maybe fruit?
Fruit.
They can cut up fruit, can't
yes,
they? And
yeah.
They can pour juice.
That's definitely a great idea. Everybody out there realizes that I'm getting very good suggestions here and hoping to follow through when I get home on following them.
And I also hope that our listeners realize that I have a daughter who actually does want my advice. Bless her dear sweetheart. And I'm not suggesting that you mothers should be telling your married daughters what to do. But here I am setting a terrible example.
But she has such good ideas. If I could just follow through them.
Maybe they'll be of help to some of the rest of you.
Yeah.
And especially, I would hope that this program will show you that although Elizabeth Elliot does have a reputation for pontificating and dishing out advice and being very highly opinionated, here's one young mother who actually is willing to listen. You don't just have to listen to me. One of the reasons I particularly wanted to have Val here was because she's right in the middle of what so many of you are in. And these things that I talk to you about very often, Val and I have talked about together. I sort of run them by her first, but obviously we didn't run by all this first today. We're just giving it to you off the top of our heads.
We were going to talk about work.
We were talking about working and teaching children to work and setting an example of the enjoyment of work. I had Elizabeth with me for 5 days last week, 11-year-old Elizabeth, Valerie's daughter, and I was trying to show her how much I enjoy working. I love to see the silver polished. I love to see the counters absolutely spanking clean. I love to iron because I just love the smooth, clean results of nicely ironed napkins and shirts and blouses and things like that. And if I had a deep resentment about it, even if I didn't think I was showing it, those attitudes are likely to come through to your children, don't you think, Val? You really have to set the example.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. I've tried to set the example of cheerfully washing the dishes because I really do enjoy washing dishes. Somehow, the children have thought it still too much of a chore for them to do, and they still are required to do it. But one job that Elizabeth really enjoys doing is helping her dad clean the pool. Now, Walter is usually responsible with the pool with Walt, but sometimes when Walter is not around, he might be at swim practice or at Boy Scouts. Walt has asked Elizabeth to help him, and I can tell that she's really enjoying doing it. So I'm thankful for that, and I know that in many little ways we can set a better example if we go towards the task cheerfully.
I think of the words that Amy Carmichael used to teach her children in India, "Hate not laborious work."
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.